الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Sweet words. One of the causes of punishment in the grave. It is quoted in Al-Qawl al-Badi that Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, I dreamt about my late neighbor and asked him, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ, i.e. how did Allah Azza wa Jalla treat you? He replied, I faced immense hardships. I was even unable to answer the questions of Munkar Nakir. I thought in my heart that perhaps I had not died in the state of Iman. Meanwhile, I heard a voice, you are being punished for using your tongue unnecessarily in the world. Then the angels of torment advanced towards me, but meanwhile an extremely handsome personality wearing sweet perfume appeared between me and the torment. He made me remember the answers to the questions of Munkar Nakir, and I replied accordingly, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. The torment was withdrawn from me. I humbly asked that revered personality, may Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on you, who are you? He replied, I have been created by virtue of your act of sending Salat ala Nabi abundantly, and I have been assigned to help you in every hardship. Aapka naam-e naami e salli ala, har jaga har musibat mein kaam a gaya. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. If an angel can help us in the grave by virtue of sending Salat ala Nabi abundantly, then the Master of all angels can certainly help and bless us. Someone has rightly pleaded, Main ghor andheri mein ghabraunga tanha, imdad meri karne a jana mere aqa, roshan meri turbat ko lillah shah karna, جب وقت نزا آئے دیدار عطا کرنا. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد. A blessed saint رحمت اللہ تعالی علی of Khurasan was ordered in his dream to invite the Tatar nation towards Islam. At that time Tagudar Khan, son of Halaku Khan, was the ruler. The blessed saint Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi set off for meeting Tagudar Khan. On seeing his bearded Muslim muballigh preacher, who was a true follower of Sunnah, Tagudar Khan felt like cracking a joke and said, tell me whether the hairs of your beard are better or the tail of my dog. Indeed, this sentence would have angered anyone else. But since the blessed saint Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a wise muballigh, he replied very politely, I am also a dog of my creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla. I am better if I succeed in pleasing him with my loyalty and devotion. Otherwise the tail of your dog is better than me if your dog remains obedient and loyal to you. He was a practicing muballigh who would refrain from bad habits like backbiting, tale-telling, finding faults in others, using foul language, talking excessively, and would always keep his tongue involved in zikrullah azza wa jalla. Therefore his sweet words had a deep impact on the heart of Tagudar Khan. When he heard the overly sweet Madani pearl from the practicing muballigh in response to his ridiculous question, he felt embarrassed and said politely, you are my guest, so kindly stay with me. Therefore he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stayed with him. Tagudar Khan used to visit him every night, and the blessed saint rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would call him towards righteousness very politely. His continuous efforts brought Madni revolution in the heart of Tagudar Khan. The same Tagudar Khan who was previously committed to wipe out Islam from the world completely had now started loving Islam. Taghudar Khan embraced Islam along with his entire Tatar nation at the hands of this practicing Muballigh. He was named Ahmad after embracing Islam. It is a historical fact that a cruel Tatar state turned into an Islamic empire of Central Asia by virtue of a Muballigh's sweet words. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon him and forgive us for his sake. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sweet words. Dear Islamic brothers, did you realize that a Muballigh should necessarily possess such qualities? These madni outcomes would have never been witnessed if he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would have become angry at the ridiculous sentence of Taghudar Khan. Therefore, no matter how angry someone makes us feel, we should have complete control of our tongue, because at times even a winning situation turns into a loss if the tongue gets out of control. It was the politeness of the sweet words that earned Taghudar Khan dignity and honor, who was previously a cruel person, even worse than animals. Hai fala o kamrani, narmi o asani mein, har bana kaam bigar jata hai nadani mein. A piece of flesh. Dear Islamic brothers, although the tongue appears to be just a small piece of flesh, it is in fact a great blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Perhaps only the voiceless person can understand the value of this blessing. Using the tongue rightly can lead a person to heaven, whereas its misuse can lead him to hell. Even if a worst kafir, a non-Muslim, says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, with his tongue, having the belief of Islam in his heart, he becomes purified from all the impurities of kufr and shirk, polytheism. Kalima Taiba that he says with his tongue washes away all of his previous sins. By virtue of saying Kalima Taiba with his tongue, he becomes completely purified from the sins as if he has just been born. Saying Kalima Taiba with his tongue while having the same belief in the heart brings this great madni revolution in his life. Reward of worship of 1 year for every word. If only people would learn to use their tongue rightly, a person can own a home in paradise if he converses in accordance with the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He will be greatly rewarded if we use our tongue for reciting the Holy Quran, doing zikrullah, abundantly sending salat and salam upon the Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and calling people towards righteousness, insha'Allah azza wa jalla. It is mentioned in Mukashfat al-Qulub that Sayyiduna Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam humbly asked in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, what would be the reward of a person who calls his brother, enjoins him to do good deeds, and stops him from evil deeds? He was replied, I write reward of worship of 1 year for his every word, and I will not give him punishment of hell. Blessings of sweet words of the devotees of Rasul. Dear Islamic brothers, it is not necessary that a person earns reward for making individual efforts by telling someone about a virtuous deed and making him feel hatred for sins, only if he accepts and acts accordingly. Besides, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, there is a great reward even if he does not accept the call towards righteousness. Moreover, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will have great benefit in this world and the afterlife If anyone repents of his sins and starts practicing sunnah as a result of your individual efforts. Here is a Madani parable of individual efforts in this regard. I am mentioning a written account of a young Islamic brother from Kasur, Punjab, Pakistan, in my own words. I was a 10th grade student, spending a sinful life as I enjoyed the company of bad people. I would get angry very easily and disrespected others very badly. I would talk back not only to my father but to my grandparents as well. One day, a Madani Qafila of Dawat-e-Islami, a global non-political movement of Quran and Sunnah, arrived at a masjid in our locality. By the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I paid a visit to those devotees of Rasul travelling with the Madani Qafila. While making individual efforts, one of them invited me to join the dars session. I took his sweet words to heart and joined the session. After the dars, that very Islamic brother invited me sweetly to attend the 3-day sunnah inspiring ijtima that was to be held shortly at Sihrai Madina in Madinatul Awliya, Multan, Pakistan. His dars had already impressed me, so I could not refuse his invitation. When I ultimately reached the location of the ijtima in Multan called Sihrai Madina, I was mesmerized by the blessings and tranquility of the ijtima. The last bayan, the speech was about the devastations of music, titled Gaane Baje Ki Hol Nakiyan, and it touched my heart. I burst into tears, and before I left the ijtima, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, I repented of all my sins and joined the Madni environment of Dawat-e-Islami. For my family, it was a sigh of relief to see me adopt the righteous Madni change in my life. Impressed by the Madni revolution, embraced by an ill-mannered person like me, by the blessing of Madni environment of Dawat-e-Islami, my elder brother also adorned his face with the beard and his head with an imama, an Islamic turban. I have only one sister, and Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, she also started wearing the Madani burqa. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, every member of my household has been initiated into the Qadiriyya Razaviyya Tariqa, i.e. the spiritual order, thus becoming Murideen, i.e. disciples of Ghawth-e-Azam, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. I am indebted to that Islamic brother whose sweet words led to such profound results. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I completed Hifz, i.e. memorization of the Holy Quran. Furthermore, I enrolled for Dars-e-Nizami course to become an Islamic scholar. At the time of writing this account, I am in the 3rd year of my Dars-e-Nizami course. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, I am also in charge of Madani Qafila in my area, and from the month of Shaban ul-Mu'azzam, 1427 Hijri, I intend to travel for 12 consecutive months with the Madani Qafilas. Dil pe gar zang ho, gar ka gar tang ho, hoga sab ka bala qafile mein chalo. Aisa fezan ho, hifze Quran ho, karke himmat zara qafile mein chalo. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Glad tidings of forgiveness. Use your tongue for reciting the Holy Quran and earn great reward. The following Hadith-e-Qudsi is mentioned in the book Ruhul Bayan. Anyone who recites Surah Al-Fatiha once in continuation of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, i.e. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, till the end of Surah, then be the witness that I have forgiven him, accepted all his virtuous deeds, forgiven his sins, I will certainly not burn his tongue, and I will grant him salvation
from the torment of grave, hellfire, torment of the day of judgment, and the great fear. A clearer method to recite both the aforementioned ayahs in continuation is expressed in the following. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Recite the complete surah. Deed, forgetting who's in heaven. Dear Islamic brothers, invoke Astaghfirullah Al-Azim with your tongue and get who's in heaven. In Rawdul Riyahin, it is mentioned a blessed saint, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, had worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla for 40 years. Once he made a dua, i.e. a supplication, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, please make me have a glimpse in this world of anything from all that I am going to be rewarded in the heaven by your blessings. While he was still making dua, suddenly the mihrab split up and a beautiful and pretty hoor emerged from it. She said, you will be rewarded in the heaven with 100 hoors like me. Each one of those will have 100 female servants. Each female servant will have 100 slave girls. And each slave girl will have 100 female administrators. That blessed saint, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, got extremely happy after hearing it and asked, will anyone get even more than me in heaven? He was replied, everyone who recites Astaghfirullah Al-Azim in the morning and in the evening will be blessed with this reward in heaven. Become absorbed. Always keep this tongue involved in zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla to earn great reward. The beloved Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam has said, do zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla so much that people start calling you crazy. It is stated in another hadith, do zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla so much that the hypocrites start calling you a show off. Planting trees. Our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam told Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu about great beneficial use of the tongue. Listen to it and rejoice. It is reported in a narration of Sunan Ibn Majah that once the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was going somewhere and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu planting a plant. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam inquired, what are you doing? He radiyallahu ta'ala anhu humbly replied, I am planting a tree. The Rasul of Rahmah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, let me tell you the method to plant the best tree. One tree is planted in heaven as a reward of every word by reciting Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. Dear Islamic brothers, in the above mentioned hadith, four words are stated. Number one, Subhanallah. Number two, Alhamdulillah. Number three, La ilaha illallah. Number four, Allahu Akbar. Four trees will be planted in heaven if you recite all four words, and fewer trees will be planted if you recite less. For example, one tree will be planted if Subhanallah is recited. Keep reciting these words with your tongue and keep planting more and more trees in the heaven. Umar Ra Dua'i Makandar Guftagu Zikri Ukun Zikri Ukun Zikri U. I.e. don't waste your precious life in having unnecessary conversation. Do zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sins of 80 years are forgiven. Similarly, Another use of the tongue is to keep sending salat and salam upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam and have the sins forgiven. As stated in Durr-i Mukhtar, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive the sins of 80 years of the person who sends salat upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam once and it gets accepted. It is impermissible to say Bismillah kijiye. Some people say Bismillah kijiye, aao ji Bismillah, or maine Bismillah kar dali. Usually traders' first sale of the day is called a buni, but some people call it Bismillah as well. For example, meri to aaj abhi tak Bismillah hi nahi hui. All these phrases are wrong. Likewise, if someone arrives while a person is having a meal, the person often says, come and have the meal with me. The reply commonly received is Bismillah or Bismillah kijiye. It is stated on page 22, part 16 of Bahari Shariat, a publication of Dawat-e-Islami. Ulama, i.e. Islamic scholars, have declared that it is strictly impermissible to say Bismillah in this way at such an occasion. However, this statement can be said, recite Bismillah and have the meal. Moreover, it is better to make dua at such an occasion, for example saying, Barakallahu lana wa lakum, i.e. may Allah Azza wa Jalla give blessings to you and us. You can also say it in your mother tongue, may Allah Azza wa Jalla give blessings. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. When is it kufr to say Bismillah? Never ever recite Bismillah before committing any haram and impermissible act. It is kufr to recite Bismillah before committing any act that is harami qat'i, absolute haram. It is stated in Fatawa Alamgiri, it is kufr to say Bismillah while drinking wine, committing fornication or gambling. When is it a sin to do zikrullah? Remember, doing zikr and sending salat upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam are reward earning deeds, but in some situations they become forbidden as well. For example, on page 533 of volume 1 of Bukhari Shariat, a publication of Maktabatul Madina, it is stated, whilst displaying the goods to a customer, it is impermissible for the trader to send salat upon the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam or say subhanallah with the intention of expressing the high quality of his goods to the customer. Likewise, on seeing any religious personality, it is impermissible to send salat upon the Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam with the intention of informing people of that person's arrival so that the people stand up giving him respect and leave their place for him. Dear Islamic brothers, keeping this ruling in mind, I often ask the Islamic brothers to avoid saying Allah, Allah loudly on my arrival, because apparently this is aimed at extending welcome, not making zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Calling Halim instead of Kitra. Dear Islamic brothers, Halim is one of those names of Allah Azza wa Jalla which describe his attributes. Therefore, though it is permissible to call a food item as Halim, I personally dislike it. This food is also called as Kichra in Urdu. Therefore, I use this name, i.e. Kichra, as long as possible. It is mentioned in Tazkiratul Awliya, one Sayyiduna Bayazid Bistami Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh took a red apple in his hand and said, this apple is extremely latif. A voice was heard from the ghaib, the unseen. Did you not feel shy about using our name for an apple? Allah Azza wa Jalla removed his remembrance from the heart of Sayyiduna Bayezid Bistami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi for 40 days. Sayyiduna Bayezid Bistami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi also swore that he will never eat the fruit of his city Bistam. Did you realize one literal meaning of Latif is excellent as well? But since Latif is the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla that describes one of his attributes, Sayyiduna Bayezid Bistami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was warned. 100,000 times reward. Dear Islamic brothers, if we use our tongue for the right purpose, indeed we can earn more and more reward from time to time. It is stated in a blessed hadith, for the person who does zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the market, there will be a noor, i.e. light, for every hair on the day of judgment. Remember, reciting the Holy Quran, reciting hamd and praising Allah Azza wa Jalla, making dua and invocations, sending salat and salam upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, reciting naat, delivering khutbah, i.e. Islamic sermon, and dars, delivering sunnah inspiring bayan, etc., are all included in zikrullah. Therefore, every Islamic brother should deliver a dars of fizan-e sunnat for at least 12 minutes in a market daily. He will get reward of doing zikrullah in the market for the total time that he spends in delivering dars. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Excellence of fulfilling the need and inquiring after a person's health. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Those Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters are so fortunate who keep their tongues involved in calling people towards righteousness, delivering sunnah, inspiring bayan, doing zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and sending salat upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is a reward earning act to fulfill a Muslim's need. Moreover, consoling a sick or a troubled Muslim is also a great positive use of the tongue. Great reward of inquiring after a person's health. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, he who goes to fulfill any of his Muslim brother's need, Allah azza wa jalla grants him a shade through 75,000 angels. Those angels make dua for him and he is submerged in the blessings until he finishes, i.e. fulfilling the need. When he finishes it, Allah Azza wa Jalla writes a reward for him of one Hajj and one Umrah. He who inquired after a sick, Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant him a shade through 75,000 angels. One good deed would be written for him every time he lifts his foot until he reaches home. His one sin would be erased every time when he places his foot, and one rank would be elevated. When he will sit with the sick, blessing will cover him completely, and blessing will keep him covered completely until he returns home. A person earns great reward by using his tongue to console a person whose child falls ill, who becomes jobless or indebted, who meets with an accident, whose wealth is stolen by a thief or dacoit, who suffers a loss in his business, or the one who becomes worried on losing something. In short, great reward is earned by consoling someone who suffers from trouble due to any reason. A pair of heavenly attire. It is narrated from Sayyiduna Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, he who will express his condolences to a depressed person, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him wear an attire of piety and will bless his soul among the souls. He who will express his condolences to a troubled person, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him wear from the heavenly attire two such attires that even the entire world cannot be their price. Tongue is beneficial as well as harmful. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, there are countless benefits of using the tongue rightly. However, this very tongue becomes a cause of great suffering if it is not used in accordance with the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is narrated from a renowned Sahabi, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, most of the mistakes of a person are in his tongue. Every morning, body parts request the tongue. Shaykh Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, when a person wakes up in the morning, all his body parts request the tongue. They say, fear Allah Azza wa Jalla in our matter, because we are associated with you. If you remain straight, then we will remain straight. But if you are crooked, then we too will be crooked. A renowned commentator, a great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated while explaining this blessed hadith, O tongue, we are associated with you in benefit and loss, relief and comfort, and suffering and distress. If you will act wrongly, we will get into trouble. If you will act rightly, we will be respected. Keep in mind that the tongue reflects the state of the heart. Its goodness and badness shows the goodness and badness of the heart. Troubles caused by the careless use of the tongue. Dear Islamic brothers, at times using tongue carelessly indeed causes serious troubles. If a man utters talaq, talaq, talaq with this very tongue to his wife with whom he has copulated, talaq e mughallaza takes place. At times it even leads towards killing if this tongue is used to insult someone, which fuels his anger. If someone uses this tongue to scold a Muslim without any shari reason and it hurts his feelings, then indeed it is a sin and leads towards hell. It is narrated in the book Tabarani that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, he who has hurt a Muslim without any shari reason has hurt me, and he who has hurt me has displeased Allah Azza wa Jalla. Eternal pleasure and displeasure. Sayyiduna Bilal bin Haris radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, someone speaks something good without knowing its limits, due to which Allah's pleasure is written for him until the day when he will meet him. And one person speaks something bad without knowing its limits, due to which Allah Azza wa Jalla writes his displeasure until the day when he will meet him. A renowned commentator, a great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated while explaining this blessed hadith, at times a person says something bad due to which Allah Azza wa Jalla is displeased with him forever. Therefore, a person should speak after careful consideration. Sayyiduna Al-Qama radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that the above mentioned hadith of Bilal ibn Haris radiallahu ta'ala anhu stops me from saying many things, i.e. I wish to speak something but then I remember this hadith and remain silent. Dear Islamic brothers, speaking without thinking can have very serious consequences and can displease Allah Azza wa Jalla forever. Indeed, peace and safety lies in placing Qufl-e Madina, i.e. a Madni guard, on the tongue. It is extremely beneficial to have some conversation, through writing or sign language, for becoming habitual of remaining silent, because a person who speaks more usually makes more mistakes and even reveals the secrets. It is also very difficult for such a person to refrain from sins like backbiting, tale-telling, and finding faults of people. Ma'azallah Azza wa Jalla. Sometimes a talkative person even utters kufr. Consequence of hard-heartedness. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on us and make us control our tongue, as the tongue causes hard-heartedness also, by talking unnecessarily and being negligent in doing zikrullah. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, using obscene language is from hard-heartedness, and hard-heartedness is in fire. A renowned commentator, a great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, whilst explaining this blessed hadith, it means that if a person uses his tongue fearlessly and says everything good or bad thoughtlessly, then this indicates that he is hard-hearted and immodest. Hardness is that tree whose root lies in the heart of a person and its branch lies in hell. Such fearless person ends up a kafir, i.e. a non-Muslim, by being disrespectful even in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Crushed the tongue. Dear Islamic brothers, it is indeed very dangerous to talk excessively, as sometimes Mu'adhallah Azza wa Jalla, speaking unnecessarily can cause a person to commit kufr, i.e. unbelief. If only people would become habitual of pondering over the words before saying them, that these words will bring about what benefits in our afterlife. If there isn't any benefit of afterlife, then instead of talking, send salat upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam for that particular duration, as it will benefit you greatly in the hereafter. It is stated in Asrarul Awliya, once Sayyiduna Hatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said something unnecessarily with his blessed tongue. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi felt regretful and pressed his tongue between the teeth such intensely that it started bleeding. Moreover, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi did not talk to anyone unnecessarily till 20 years as expiation of saying this single unnecessary statement. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on him and forgive us for his sake. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What should a person do upon saying something unnecessarily? Dear Islamic brothers, did you realize Sayyiduna Hatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi deeply regretted saying an unnecessary statement and crushed his tongue? Keep this Islamic ruling in mind, that Sharia does not permit to hurt your own self in the state of consciousness. Therefore, in such parables, we will interpret that the blessed saints have hurt themselves in an unconscious state. As hosh mein jo na ho, wo kya na kare, i.e. the person who is unconscious may unknowingly do anything. However, it was the distinctive quality of those blessed saints. If only people would at least say Allah, Allah 12 times, or send salat upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam once, as expiation of uttering anything unnecessarily. In this way, Satan will probably not urge us to speak unnecessarily. Fearing that we may trouble him with doing zikr and sending salat upon the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is narrated in Minajul Abideen, Zikrullah is a painful for the Satan. Zikrullah is as painful for the Satan as the suffering one experiences due to the disease of Aqila. Aqila is a disease that affects the human flesh in such a way that it starts getting separated from the body by itself. 14 examples of unnecessary sentences. Regretfully, company of good people can rarely be found nowadays. Unfortunately, many people who appear to be good
apparently are observed speaking unnecessarily. Instead of speaking something good, if only people would meet people with the sole purpose to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. If only people would just speak necessarily while meeting people. Remember, it is not haram, i.e. prohibited, or a sin to speak unnecessarily, or add more words to a necessary conversation. However, it is best to avoid it. While speaking unnecessarily, there exists a great possibility that a person indulges in a sinful conversation, therefore peace and safety lies in remaining silent. In our society nowadays, such questions are often asked unnecessarily, which makes the other person feel embarrassed and he might even commit the sin of telling lies if he answers them incautiously. These questions are sometimes asked purposefully. In such cases, these questions cannot be regarded as unnecessary. Following are some examples of such sentences. There is no harm in these questions. There is no harm if these questions are asked for a reason. However, protect the Muslims from feeling embarrassed or committing a sin by avoiding such questions as far as possible. For example, number one, what's happening? Number two, don't you make dua for me these days? Number three, oh brother, are you displeased with me? Number four, I think you haven't enjoyed. Number five, what did this car cost you? Number six, what is your car's model? Number seven, what is the cost of houses in your area? Number eight, inflation is really high. Number nine, how is the weather over there? Number ten, oh, the weather is so hot. Number 11, it is extremely cold these days. Number 12, will it ever stop raining? Number 13, electricity supply was discontinued the very moment it started raining. Number 14, was there electricity supply at your home or not? These and other such countless sentences are usually spoken unnecessarily. However, negative perception should not be created of the person who speaks such sentences. Instead, good presumption should be made as the person saying such sentence that seems to be unnecessary might have any good reason behind it that you have not understood. Moreover, such person is not sinful even if the question or sentence is unnecessary. 13 examples of unnecessary questions asked from Hujjaj. Relatives and friends usually ask various unnecessary questions even from the Hujjaj who return from Medina. Following are their 13 examples. Number 1. Did you face any difficulty during the journey? Number 2. It would have been too crowded. Number 3. Was there inflation? Number 4. Did you get a good accommodation or not? Number 5. Was your accommodation near to Haram or far from it? Number 6. How was the weather over there? Number 7. Was the weather very hot over there? Number 8. How many times did you perform tawaf every day? Number 9. How many times have you performed Umrah? Number 10. Did you make dua for me abundantly in Makkah or not? Number 11. Was your tent near to Jamarat in Mina or far away? Number 12. For how many days did you stay in Medina? Number 13. Did you say my salam in Medina, specifically mentioning my name or not? Though the above mentioned examples of questions are not impermissible, ponder over their purpose before asking. Don't ask such questions if there isn't any need, because some of these might make a haji feel embarrassed. Some might make him worried, and some might make him commit a sin of telling lies if he answers them incautiously. Therefore, silence is golden. 4 examples of bad or sinful sentences. Some talkative people do not avoid speaking even sinful sentences, and those sentences through which they make false accusations against others without any verification. Following are their 4 examples. Number one, our entire community or entire village has become heretic. Only I have remained safe from heresy. But it is not true generally, since the old people, women and children mostly remain safe from it. Number two, all of our government employees take bribes. Number three, all the employees of electric supply company are wicked people. Mu'azallah Azza wa Jalla. Number four, everyone in the government is a thief. 19 examples of unnecessary questions asked on Eid al-Adha. Following are some examples of unnecessary questions asked on Eid al-Adha without any purpose. Number one, when are you going to buy a cow? Number two, the cost of animals would be high these days. Number three, for how much did you buy the cow? Number four, your cow is very healthy. Number five, how old is your cow? Number six, is your cow aggressive? Number seven, did you walk your cow home or get it transported? Number eight, how much did you spend to get your cow transported? Number nine, when are you going to slaughter it? Number 10, did the butcher come in time or not? Number 11, butcher went away just after slaughtering it and returned very late. Number 12, you are right, butchers waste our time by arriving late. Number 13, I enjoyed a lot seeing the cow running away from the butcher's control. Number 14, you are right, the butcher was not professional. It may become backbiting, false accusation, evil presumption, or it may hurt that person's feelings, and other such sins may be committed. However, there is no harm in this sentence if that butcher is really a non-professional, and by informing someone, this person intends to save him from that butcher. Number 15, how old is your goat? Number 16, for how much did you buy the goat? Number 17, oh, you have bought it very expensive. Number 18, does it even walk or not? Number 19, how much did the butcher charge to slaughter it? Etc, etc. Five examples of unnecessary conversation carried out while talking on the phone. Unnecessary questions are often asked while talking on the phone as well. Following are their five examples. Number 1, what are you doing? Number 2, where are you? Number 3, if someone calls a person while he is in the car, the following question is often asked. Who else is accompanying you? Number 4, where are you passing by? Number 5, where have you reached? However, question asked purposefully will not be regarded as unnecessary question, but some questions can make a person feel embarrassed and tell a lie. For example, a person might not be able to give the right answers, and the above mentioned 1, 2, 3 questions, as he might want to keep it secret that what he is doing, where he is, or who else is with him. The peace and safety in both the worlds lie in speaking only purposefully and not more than necessary. 14 examples of questions which force a person to tell lies. Dear Islamic brothers, sometimes people ask such questions which can urge a person to tell lies if he answers them incautiously, or if telling the truth might be embarrassing for the questioner. Though the person asking such questions is not sinful, but it is better to avoid asking these questions unnecessarily in order to save the Muslims from committing sins. Following are 14 examples of such questions. Number 1. Did you have any problem in finding our house? Number 2. Did you like the food we served? Number 3. How was the tea I made? Number 4. Did you like our house? Number 5. Do you make dua for me or not? Number 6. How was the bayan, i.e. speech, that I just delivered? Number 7. How was my voice quality while reciting Naat? Number 8. Did it hurt you, what I have said? Number 9. Have you got disturbed by my visit? Number 10. Am I boring you? Number 11. Did I interrupt your conversation? Number 12. Are you displeased with me? Number 13. Have I made you happy? Number 14. Have I ever hurt your feelings? The most dangerous, unnecessary words. Some people are extremely strange. They desire encouragement without any reason in whatever they say. For example, number 1. So what did you understand? Number 2. Have you understood what I have said? However, sometimes this question is beneficial as well. If the religious teachers or religious personalities, etc., purposefully ask it from their students or subordinates so that they may explain it again to those who have not yet understood. In this situation, people should not respond misleadingly in affirmation if they have not actually understood the matter. Number 3. So is it right? Number 4. Am I wrong? Number 5. What is your opinion? The person has no choice except responding affirmatively even if he does not agree with the questioner's statement. In this way, the sin of telling lies is committed quite often. If you do not have courage to reform such talkative people, then peace and safety lies in remaining away from them, as responding affirmatively to their sinful conversation may lead towards hell. It is also observed that such talkative people sometimes utter misleading statements, mu'adhallah azza wa jalla, even kufr, and desiring encouragement, ask others, so am I right? Getting an affirmative response in this way. Sometimes they even cause others to commit kufr, i.e. unbelief, because it is also kufr to approve kufr in consciousness. Al-iyadhu billahi azza wa jal. Ey kaash, zarurat ke siwa kuch bhi na bolun. Allah zaban ka ho ata, qufl Madina. Definition of an unnecessary statement. If one word is sufficient to convey the meaning during a conversation, then using the additional second word for it is unnecessary. Hujjatul Islam, Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated in Ihya'ul Ulum, if one word suffices for achieving the purpose of the speaker and he uses two words, then this second word will be regarded as unnecessary. It means that it will be more than required to achieve the purpose. If any word that is more than the requirement, it is condemnable. If the purpose is not achieved with one word, then two or more words spoken as per the requirement are not unnecessary. However, that statement would be regarded as unnecessary, that is useless. A word or statement is not unnecessary if spoken purposefully, when a necessity or requirement arises, or to gain any benefit. Sometimes, words added to make the speech sound better are also not unnecessary. For example, those couplets and rhymes are not unnecessary which are used purposefully to beautify the bayan, the writing or the poetry. Those words are also not unnecessary that should sometimes be added or removed according to the intelligence of the listener. People can be divided into three categories depending upon their intelligence. Number 1, extremely intelligent. Number 2, fairly intelligent. Number 3, weak-minded. For an extremely intelligent person, a single word sometimes suffices to comprehend fully what is being said, whereas it is difficult for a fairly intelligent person to understand something without its explanation. The weak-minded is sometimes unable to understand anything even if explained 10 times. According to this categorization, keep in mind that a second word will be regarded as unnecessary if it is used for explaining the same thing to the person who has already understood it by one word. Likewise, if a fairly intelligent person understands something in 12 words, then any additional word used without a purpose to explain the same thing will be regarded as unnecessary. Moreover, if a weak-minded person does not understand something unless 100 words are used, then even these 100 words will not be regarded as unnecessary since they have been used for a reason. To sum it up, a single word uttered more than the words enough to achieve the purpose is unnecessary. It will also be regarded as unnecessary to utter a single word of a statement that is permissible but useless. If the statement is impermissible, uttering even its single word will be regarded as impermissible and a sin. The one who believes in Allah Azza wa Jalla and the afterlife. After going through the above mentioned detail, it might occur to you that it is very difficult to refrain from speaking unnecessarily. Do not lose hope and keep trying. To become habitual of placing Qufle Madina on the tongue, i.e. remaining silent, try to have some conversation through writing or sign language if possible, as sincere efforts will lead you towards the destination. It is a saying that As-sa'yu minni wal-itmamu minallah, i.e. my job is to make an effort, success is granted by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Memorizing the following hadith of Sahih Bukhari will be greatly beneficial for becoming habitual of remaining silent. Insha Allah Azza wa Jalla, the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, one who believes in Allah Azza wa Jalla and the afterlife, he should speak something good or remain silent. Strange, talkative people indulged in the habit of unnecessary conversation. Some people also make others repeat what they say. Maybe you also commit the same mistake unintentionally. So ponder over it. Following is the example of making someone repeat what he has said. Zayd says something to Bakr. Though Bakr has understood it, he pretends that he hasn't. He raises his head questioningly, and most of the times these words are uttered interrogatively. Huh, yes, what? In this way, Zayd is made to repeat without any reason what he has just said. Since Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, has experienced this habit of some people, he often remains silent instead of repeating what he has said. In response to such interrogative gestures, as a result, it is usually observed that the listener had already understood it at once. Huge efforts are required to get rid of unnecessary habits. It is almost impossible to get rid of such habits immediately after listening to a single speech or reading some relevant content. Ponder over it deeply and get yourself mentally prepared that you will not utter words like huh, what, etc. immediately after listening to what someone has said. Even then, if you forget and utter such words, carry out your accountability. Analyzing the conversation. Dear Islamic brothers, following is an account that expresses the carefulness observed by the blessed saints, rahimahumullah ta'ala,
during their conversations. It is stated in Minhajul Abideen, once Sayyiduna Fudail bin Iyad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh met Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. They both cried after having a conversation. Then Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh said, "O Abu Ali," this is the kunya of Sayyiduna Fudail, "I expect great reward for this meeting today." Sayyiduna Fudail bin Iyad rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh said, "I am very afraid of this meeting today." Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh asked, "Why?" Sayyiduna Fudail rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh replied, "Weren't we both beautifying our conversation? Weren't we trying to make our conversation sound better? Listening to it, Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh started crying." Dear Islamic brothers, we should ponder over it. These pious people used to meet each other for seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Their conversation used to be in complete accordance with the Islamic teachings. Even then, they feared Allah Azza wa Jalla greatly. Both of the blessed saints were crying out of fear that they might have disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jalla while conversing, or they might have said beautiful sentences unnecessarily. Those people should learn from it who, being pretentious, frequently use difficult words, idioms and rhymes of Arabic, Persian and English languages while talking in Urdu to impress people with their knowledge. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "On the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will neither accept farz nor nafl of the person who learns to talk craftily with the intention of captivating the hearts of men or the people through it." While explaining this hadith, the great muhaddith Allama Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, "Sarful kalami," i.e. talking craftily, here means to tell a lie pretentiously in order to make the conversation fascinating and to alter it for creating doubts and ambiguities. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, let me have the privilege of mentioning the excellence of Sunnah with some Sunan and manners. Bringing the speech to an end, the noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "One who loves my Sunnah loves me, and the person who loves me will be with me in Jannah." Seena teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. May my heart be Medina of your Sunnah, O beloved. In paradise, grant me a place in your neighborhood. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 12 Madni pearls about entering and leaving the home. Number 1. When leaving the home, recite this dua. Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I have put my trust in Allah. There is no power or might except from Allah Azza wa Jalla. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, by virtue of the blessing of reciting this dua, you will stay on the right path, you will be protected from calamities, and you will get the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number 2. Dua for entering the home is Allahumma inni as'aluka khayral mawlaji wa khayral makhraj. Bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbina wa tawakkalna. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, I ask you for the goodness of entering and exiting. We enter the home beginning with the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla and exit the home beginning with the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we put our trust in our Rabb, Allah Azza wa Jalla. After reciting this dua,
say salam to your household, then present your salam to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and then recite Suratul Ikhlas. There will be blessings in your sustenance and you will remain safe from domestic disputes, insha'Allah azza wa jalla. Number 3. Say salam to the maharim and the maharimat, e.g. your mother, father, brothers, sisters, etc., upon entering and leaving the home. Number 4. When someone enters the home without reciting the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, for example, without reciting Bismillah, Satan also enters along with him. Number 5. If you enter a vacant house, even if it is your own house, then say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Salam be upon us and upon the righteous servants of Allah. The angels will reply to this salam. As the sacred and blessed soul of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is present in the homes of the Muslims, you can also say the following. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu. Ya Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, salam be upon you. Number 6. When you want to enter someone's home, say As-salamu alaykum, may I come in. Number 7. If the permission is not granted to enter the home, return happily. Perhaps the resident of the home may have refused due to some unavoidable situation. Number 8. When someone knocks at your door, it is sunnah to ask, who is it? The person outside should then tell his name. For example, Muhammad Ilyas. It is not sunnah to say, Medina, it's me, open the door, and other similar sentences on such an occasion instead of saying the name. Number 9. Stand away from the door to one side after telling your name. This will prevent you from looking inside straight away as the door opens. Number 10. It is not allowed to peep inside someone's home. In front of some people's homes, there are homes of other people at a lower level. Therefore, one must be cautious while looking out from the balcony or window to ensure that he doesn't look inside their homes. Number 11. When you visit someone's home, do not unnecessarily criticize the arrangements he has made, as this could hurt his feelings. Number 12. Upon leaving, make dua for the household. Thank them. Say salam and give them any sunnah, inspiring booklet, book, DVD, etc. if possible. To learn thousands of sunnah on various topics, purchase and read 2 books published by Maktabatul Madina. Number 1. A 312-page book, Bahari Shariat, Part 16. Number 2. A 120-page book, Sunnatain or Adab. One of the best ways to learn the Sunan is to travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Seekhane Sunnatain Qafile Me Chalo, Lootane Rahmatain Qafile Me Chalo. Hongi hal mushkilein qafile mein chalo, paoge barqatein qafile mein chalo. To learn sunan, travel with the Madani Qafila. To gain mercies, travel with the Madani Qafila. To solve your problems, travel with the Madani Qafila. To reap the blessings, travel with the Madani Qafila. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Spend the whole night in the weekly sunnah inspiring ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami held every Thursday in your local city for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla with good intentions. In order to learn sunnahs, make it your routine to travel with a 3-day Madani Qafila every month with the devotees of Rasul. To fill out the Madani Inamat booklet every day practicing Fikr-e-Madina and to submit it to the relevant responsible Islamic brother of your locality on the first day of every Madani month. My Madani aim, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. In order to reform ourselves,
we must act upon the Madini Inamat, and to strive to reform the people of the entire world, we must travel with the Madini Qafilas. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.